change it, didn't they? God. Father, help us this morning. Father, you've stirred something in my heart. It's not a place of comfort, but it's, Father, the truth that you've awakened in my spirit. And Father, I ask you to grant me grace to expound what you've birthed in my heart. May we truly desire to hear your heart this day, Lord. Father, today we just want to let you know we love you. And the joy of finding your heart supersedes all things the world can offer to us. And we bless you for that. John chapter 4. I'd planned to be in Hosea today. That's truth. I'm going to give you what he gives me as he gives it to me. So if you got a complaint, you need to talk to him about it. Oh, my God. I'm going to start in verse, I'm going to go in verse 3, start in verse 3. He left Judea, and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat or food. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that said unto you, Give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast said, Well, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know you worship, you know not what. We know that we worship what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you am he. Oh, God. Oh. Back to verse 3. Yeah, it's on. Yeah. He left Judea. He left the celebrated place. He left all that praise and departed again to where? Galilee. Galilee is the heathen circle. It's to the nations. There's a time when we have to leave our place of celebration and go back to the ones that's behind. There's a place of Galilee in all of us. And to get back there, he has to go through Samaria. That's our Pentecostal realm. We're going to go from a place of worship, we've got to go back. In celebration, we've got to go back to Passover and pick up some. That's the business of tabernacles. You come to tabernacles not to say, I have arrived, but you come to tabernacles so you can get yourself in a position where you can help someone else. But you have to turn around and you have to head back to Passover where they're at, the same place you started. And you have to pass through Pentecost to get there. And he came to a city of Samaria. That's a place of mixture. And the word Sychar, I have no idea what it means. Near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. When I see this six, I know we're talking about humanity. We're talking about mankind. We all know that the number six is mankind, right? Now, this woman he's talking to here, I've heard a lot of things said about it, but God just stirred something in my heart, and I knew, but I didn't understand yet, and he just opened something in my mind. This woman is not talking about the church. This woman is talking about our soul. And there's going to be a day when we all have to come to this place, and we're going to meet this man sitting on the well, and he is the well. We have to see something here that's going on. All this foundation is laid about the history of it. And that's what the church likes to do for us. That's like what our intellect likes to do with us. It likes to lay that historical foundation where we can be comfortable. Does that make sense to you? We like to be comfortable in our settings. We like to be comfortable in our beliefs. But God's not going to let us be there. He loves us too much to leave us in that place of comfort. Now Jesus was wearied in his journey. His flesh man was tired. Do you understand that? His flesh man was tired. Does any of you ever get tired in this journey that we're traveling in? Come on, we all get there. It gets wearisome. It gets tiresome. We get so tired we just sometimes want to give up. Sometimes we just need to sit down on the well. And if you'll sit on the well, you'll get a revelation. If you'll just sit down and hear this flow of the living waters in you, it's there. There came a woman of Samaria to draw. Samaria means what? Two, mixture. It's a mixture of the Jew and the Greek. Okay? So it's talking of duality. We're going to come to a place one of these days when we realize that our woman inside of us is a mixture. She's not pure yet. She's a mixture of spirit and flesh. Do you understand that? Okay? Inside this woman that we're talking of here, this is a parable. Everything Jesus said was in what? Parable. So he's telling us something about ourselves. And we have to come to a place where we look and see that my woman, my beliefs are not pure. Because I'm looking through the woman's eyes, not the man's eyes, the Christ. Okay? I'm looking through my soulish eyes. And I have to realize it's not all there. There's a mixture. And when the woman of Samaria come to draw water from her, Jesus said, "You give me a drink." What do you think he's trying to tell you? The word is within you. The water's within you. It's deep within you. But you have a drink to give to him. Hello? You have a drink. See, everybody wants to look at the preacher for the drink. Where's the drink at? The preacher only come to tell you, you got the drink. What'd he come for? Tell you, you got the drink. See, everybody shouldn't have to come to one person, should they? Everybody should turn within to find the Christ within them. There's the water. There's the well. There's where it's at. Now, the reason it says here in this next verse, the reason he said, "Give me drink," because all of his disciples was gone into the city to buy food. See, we see a necessity of God always taking care of us, don't we? And it's good to have to know that all of our supply is in him. But the book of Revelation says the bride has made herself ready. There's some effort on our part to do something, isn't there? We have to do something. And here is when he's telling us it's time for your woman to serve the Christ. It's time for your woman to begin to provide the things that Christ needs in this life to reach others. See? Jesus said on the cross, the last words, it is what? Finished. He's through working. It's time for my woman to work for him. See? My soul needs to come in line. Right? She's all right. She's all right about it. She's just exploring, and that's good. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me of drink, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." See? And here's a woman who looks at herself, just like I said with Phil earlier. Quit looking at yourself. Quit looking at your flesh. That's not the important part. What are we supposed to look at? Didn't Paul say, "I no longer know any man after the flesh, but after the Spirit"? Quit looking back. She had the same fault. See, anytime we're in the soulish realm, what are we going to do? We're going to look back, aren't we? We're going to look back and say, but, you don't understand. I'm bad. I couldn't be this person. Oh, yeah, you are. Quit believing the lie that that woman tells you. Believe what the Christ within you speaks to you. Quit believing those lies. And see, here's something our spirit doesn't believe, but our soul continually gives us. It tells us that we're not as good as we should be. Because I'm not as good as that person because they go to church or they do this or they do that. They're a better person than me. Don't we hear that in our heads? Someone's always better than me. See? I'm no good. Don't believe that. That's calling God a liar because he said you're holy and you're righteous. You're unblameable. You're not guilty. You're sons of God, okay? We got to believe what the Spirit says and quit believing what this woman inside of us tells us. And don't worry about what the religious folks say. You do what God tells you in your heart. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, if the woman knew the gift of God, what would she say? You give me a drink." The woman is who? It's our soul. And see, he's telling you, our soul does not yet know who her husband is. Does it? We don't really know who our husband is. We're going to have a revelation. He said, if you knew who your husband was, you'd be saying, give me to drink. But see, your woman, and here's our problem in the church today, our woman does not know her husband. They don't believe they're Christ. Do you know that? Unbelief and doubt is keeping us from knowing our husband. We have a husband. No place in that book does it say God's looking for a bride, does it? He's already got a bride. He's only looking for the son to come from that union. That's all he's looking for. And as soon as my woman marries my man, guess what I'm going to produce? I'm going to manifest a son in my life. And you will too. It's not something that's going to happen. It's already happened, but you've got to believe that he's already implanted a seed within you. And when your understanding comes to light, that son will come to manifestation. But you've got to see what God is doing in our lives. And the woman said unto him, Sir, and this is the typical soulish answer, the well's deep, and how are you going to get water out? Well, we ain't talking about water in a hole in the ground, are we? See, the soul always goes back to the intellectual or the natural realm. Is that where we're supposed to be? My book says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ, right or wrong. So I'm supposed to be seated in the heavens. I shouldn't be looking at this natural stuff. If I see something natural, what should I see in it? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:46, the spiritual is not first, but it's the natural, and that teaches you about the spiritual. So when I see something natural, what should it tell me? There's something spiritual here. Slow down and see what it says. Find out what this means. It's teaching me something. Correct? He said, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living waters. But he's talking spiritual. He's talking about the words of life. He said, my words are spirit, and they are life. If we just understand. But see, God creates the hearing ear and the seeing eye. If he doesn't create it, they can't see it. Would we be mad if someone walked in here if they was blind and deaf and they couldn't understand what we're saying? Well, then why are you upset with people in our families that can't hear what we're saying? They're deaf and blind. You hear me? Why are we upset with people we work with or anybody we know and they can't hear us? They're deaf and they're blind. They should have compassion from us, even when they attack us. What should we do? How do you think Jesus could say, forgive them, Father, when they're driving the nails? Come on. They're driving nails in us. So what? They're blind and they're deaf. They don't have any idea what they're doing. They're running on animal instinct. It's animal instinct, that beastly nature that God has put within us. But see, we're supposed to be off the tree of life, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If we go to the tree of life, we'll have that compassion for them. Come on. Oh, my God. And she goes on and says, are you greater than our father Jacob? That just sounds like a religious statement, don't it? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank of it, his children, his cattle? And Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water will be thirsty again. See, there's the natural stuff. He said, if you want to talk about the natural, I'm telling you, you can drink that all you want to. But what's it going to do for you? Temporary. Temporary. A temporary fix. That's what our society lives on. Temporary fix. Just fix me right now, and tomorrow I'll worry about tomorrow. See, but if I realize, if I go to the other well that's setting up on top of the well and drink from that living well, that living water, guess what? I don't want for nothing forever. See, I have it all. That's what he's trying to teach us. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give, verse 14, shall give him, shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be unto him a well of water springing up into the life of the ages. See? The life of the ages. As we shared this morning, there were words of life coming out of you. And you don't realize it. Sometimes our woman is real quick to condemn us and say, oh, well, I was just talking. In the very hour that you're speaking, God's putting the words in your mouth. Okay? And you take this opportunity to slander yourselves. The accuser is not out there. The accuser's in here. And you're so quick to slander and to cut yourself down. And all you're doing is denying the truth that God has put in your heart. You're denying the truth that God has placed within you. You are a son of God. You are not less than anybody else. You are who he said you are. Don't argue with God in what he says about you. Just believe what he said. And then that living water will spring up in you. And when you accept the responsibility God has given you, you will begin to minister that life to someone else. It won't be just for me. It'll be for everybody else. You'll begin to pour this life out to everybody that you can. You won't hold it back from anybody, but you'll freely give as you have freely received. Verse 15. This is when the soul actually heard the Spirit talk. She began to hear the Spirit speak in her lives. And this is when you began to hear, when you realize there's a life beyond the natural. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me of this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband, and come hither. Now it's a time of getting real. This is a time of putting all of our cards on the table. When we begin to hear God, we're going to have to get real with God. Do you hear me? We got to get real with Him. And He says, Go bring your husband. He's given her the opportunity to lie right here. He's given her every opportunity to weasel her way out of it and give an excuse. And the woman answered him and said, I have no husband. Right? And Jesus said to her, Thou hast said, Well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not your husband. In that saidest thou truly. What he's saying is, God's grace has carried us those five husbands. God's grace has carried us all through humanity, all through time. But this sixth man, Adam, came along. He was created on the sixth day in creation. And that's who we think we're married to. But he's telling you right now, that's not your husband. That's a deception in your mind. I have never been married to Adam. You have never been married to Adam. That is something that your mind has contrived along with religion and told you that you were Adam. I have never been Adam. I have never been married to Adam. I have been married to Christ all my eternities. All my eternity, I have been with God. He created us before the foundation of the world. He created us sons. He didn't create us whores, did He? He created us faithful to Him. My woman was out of control. My soul was out of control. I was not. My spirit was never away from God. I've never been separated from Him. And verse 19, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive you are the prophet. Well, hello. Duh. The man's reading her mail. And see, the man in you can read your mail. He can read your mail, can't he? He can get right in there and open that envelope and read it, and you won't even know he's been in there until he tells you. He'll read your mail. And that woman's going to realize inside of you, that man has got something for me. He's not talking external here. You got to see inside of you. That man inside of you, that prophet that's inside of you, you got to recognize it. Jesus was called a prophet, a priest, and a king. And you got to recognize the prophet within you. When you recognize the prophet within you, you will begin to let the prophet speak within you. And as that prophet begins to speak within you, you will begin to speak externally what the prophet speaks internally in your life. But you'll never speak externally until you let the prophet preach to you inside. You've got to let him inside to do the work. Because external means nothing if the internal hasn't been cleaned up yet. What runs my external is my internal. Is that correct with the rest of you? Your inside workings is what makes the outside go. If I have something bad in my heart, what am I going to do in my lifestyle? Something bad and evil. It won't be God. But if I have God in my heart, if I realize that my man is prophesying into me, you are a son of the living God. You're holy. You're righteous. You're unblameable. You're not guilty. You're unreprovable. If I hear my prophet speak that in my heart, what will I speak in my actions? The same thing. I will begin to live exactly like the prophet tells me in here. When he tells me I'm holy and righteous, I won't look at the flaws of my life, but I'll look to what the Word says. And when I go to the written Word, I'll find the same thing. You're holy and you're righteous. You're unblameable. You're not guilty. You're just His son. And you'll begin to let that water flow up out of you, and you'll begin to speak that self externally, and you'll put it right back into your ears, and it will show you who you really are. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, right? This woman goes on and says, our fathers worshipped in the mountain, in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is where the place is where men ought to worship. Now, Jesus didn't say that, did he? See? There's the soul always taking liberty. See, she'll add things in there every now and then. Did he say anything about worshiping in Jerusalem? See? Soul did. See? Soul always does that. Okay. But Jesus corrected her very quickly. So the Christ within you will quickly correct you if you are listening to him. If you are listening to the man within you speak, he will quickly correct you. When you began to do something off base from God, how long does it take you to hear it? Right now. You know it, don't you? Christ is speaking. And if you will listen to him speak, he will correct you quickly. Quickly he'll correct you. And the quicker the better for your benefit and mine. Jesus said that, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem. Neither place will you worship Jesus. I mean, where you worship the Father. You don't have to go to the mountain. You don't have to go to the religious city. Right? Where's the kingdom of God at? It's within us. It's within your heart. So if we have to worship God, where do we have to get real with him at? It's internal. We have to get inside of this thing and look at it. He said, you worship you know not what. He's telling the soul. The soulish realm don't even know what they're doing. They're in ignorance. They're worshiping things they don't even understand. They're just doing religious traditions. He said, because salvation or deliverance is of the Jews. See? He's saying, you don't even understand, woman. You're grabbing hold of something you haven't got hold of yet. Now, you know why he can say that? Why could he say, woman, you don't understand. You're trying to get a hold of something you don't have a right to yet. Why is he saying that? He hadn't been to the cross yet. Remember in John chapter 2, the first miracle Jesus done, he changed the water into wine. He was talking to the woman and he said, what? Woman, what have I to do with you? It ain't time yet. I haven't been to the cross yet. It's not time for the soul to come back in yet. The soul's not going to be restored until the crucifixion comes about. For years I wondered why. It's not her time. And her time isn't come until he has been crucified. Okay?
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Verse 23, but the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. How do we worship him? See, we worship God here today, but we don't have to come in this building to worship him. If we think we have to come here to worship God, we've missed it. See, we've missed it. Yes, we can come here and worship together. And yes, it's fantastic to come for the fellowship and to worship together and to share things in our lives and to share the Word. But if we don't worship Him 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, if He's not in the center of my heart, I'm not worshiping Him. Paul said to pray without ceasing. How do we do that? It's because my mind is always there. I could be doing something else, but my mind is on Him. My mind's on Him. I'm worshiping Him because He's the center of my world. See, it's not all these religious things we do. It's just Him in my heart. I can't think of anything that He's not in. See, in everything I do, I want Him there. And if I do that, I'm worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Verse 24, God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. There's soulish realms of worship. There's fleshly realms of worship. They're vain. Scripture even talks about vain worship. What good is it? If I make myself get up every day and come to this building and bow down and pray for an hour and do all these things that churches tell us to do, have I done anything except waste my time? I just wasted my time. See, if I don't worship God out of my heart, out of really what I feel in my heart, not out of circumstances because I'm in a bad way and I need help from God, see, that's not the answer. Or I just want something from God, but it's got to be every day. It's just got to be, I don't know any other way to say it is, it's what you are. If you're a worshiper, you'll do what? You'll worship. And we were created by the book. What does it say? We were created to worship God. See? If we will just believe what we really are, we're worshipers. Well, you don't understand. I don't like to do this, and I feel uncomfortable if I do that. That woman's talking. I can hear her. That woman's talking. God said He created us to worship Him. Then what have I got to do to please Him? I got to worship Him. I don't care what my woman tells me. You hear me? You got to talk to that woman and tell her the husband that she thinks she has is not her own. You got to reveal it to her. But you're married unto Christ, not unto that other man. Oh, gee. And the woman said to him, I know Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When He has come, He'll tell us all things. Well, guess what? When you realize that the Messiah has come, and see, that's a Jewish thing, that's a woman thing, that's a church thing. He's going to come someday. And even the church realm, what we call the, Judeo-Christians. What was that? What was that word? I can think of a lot of words I won't use. But, you know, this Christianity that we have in this world, in this country today, everybody's still looking for Him to come through the sky. My God, He's in us. See? Just go ahead and drink the water. You're on the well. The well's in you. There's an access here that we have. And Hebrews says the veil has been rent from bottom to the top. We can boldly enter the throne room. But see, we don't even believe it. We're sitting in the presence of God. Every breath we take, we're in the presence of God, and we don't believe it. And to me, I can't even understand that. I know He's there. I'm with Him all the time. I know you are. And and people just don't believe that they're there. I can't hardly grasp that thing. But Jesus, the Christ, the man in you, is going to reveal yourself, Himself to you. And when you do, oh my. Jesus said unto her, I that speak to you am He. What is speaking to you in your heart? Is it your woman? Or is it your man? Huh? Your man's right there and telling you, I am He. I'm the one to come that's going to tell you all things. Didn't Jesus say, when I go away, I'll send you a comforter who will call all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said to you. So He wasn't just talking to His disciples. He was talking to ones from the beginning of the foundation of the world. He's come back to talk to us. He's in her heart today. Well, what are we going to listen to? We're going to listen to our woman. We're going to listen to our man. That's your choice, not mine. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to go on with this. I mean, I could get into another thought process, and I don't want to do that. I am going to do another verse or so because it just goes with it so well. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her? And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out to see Him. Well, you know what? That water pot was really essential to her. That was life. That vessel was the only way they had to get the very necessity of life, that water. And she just walked off and left it. And when you hear the Christ within you speak to your soul, and your soul recognizes that this is not the other man, but this is the Christ, you will leave that earthen vessel, wherever it's at, and you'll walk away from it. And it never says she come back to get that pot again. Left it. When you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. What does that tell me about her? She drank. She drank that water, and she'll never thirst again. You know what? My woman has drank of that water, and I can't go back and drink that natural stuff no more. I don't care what anybody says. My soul has drank of His water. Your soul today can drink the same thing. It's free.